Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. Time to Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk show host, Randy Fine. Would you like to access the soul level of your mind to resolve current life issues? Well, today's special guest, Bryn Blankenship, is with us to explain how she uses her hypnoregression technique, soul expression, spiritual regression, to revisit certain times in your soul's history and how it can bring resolution to long-standing issues and shift energies that are affecting your current life incarnation. Featuring numerous past life, afterlife, and future life case studies, her book, The Limitless Soul, Hypnoregression, Case Studies into Past, Present, and Future Lives, invites you to explore the many aspects of a soul's existence. Bryn Blankenship, CMHTCI, is the founder and executive director of the Braith Center, located in North Carolina. She is a certified master hypnotherapist, author, and international instructor. She has been featured in several documentaries and radio interviews on the subject of past lives and life between lives. Bryn is also the founder of Hypnotic Solutions Hypnosis Center. So let me bring Bryn on so you can meet her and we can get started and hear all the exciting things she has to tell us. Good morning, Bryn, and welcome.
Good morning. I'm so excited to be here.
Thank you. I'm really excited to have you too. And this is a topic that I think a lot of people are super interested in. So tell me how you got interested in it.
Well, you know, I've always had an interest in where we come from. I've had an interest in reincarnation since childhood. And as I got older, I moved into acting. I left my traditional job to become an actress. And I went to a regressionist to help clear any blocks from a past life that could have been holding me back because I was working, but I wanted to be working full-time, you know, in that field. And I had a few sessions, and in one of those sessions, I went into a past life where I was a starving artist, starving on the streets. Another lifetime I went into, I was an opera singer, very well-known, and traveled all over Europe. And that was really wonderful. So on a subsequent session, I wanted to move forward again in the career, and because I was, you know, uncovering these pieces and pulling information forward that could help me to be more focused in the work and, you know, just clear up things that needed to be tied up from past incarnations. In this one session, I went into a future progression. And what happened was I was in the session and I saw myself standing in this field of prairie grass, and there were trees, and on those trees were these apples, and I was walking through the orchard having my pick. And I knew that they were metaphorical apples. I knew that that was representative of having my pick of jobs, of gigs. So as I left the session, and not too long, like within a day or so after that, my friend out, who had been out in L.A. for about 5 years called, hadn't talked to her in 5 years, and she's an actress, and she said, "Bryn, you need to come out. I was thinking about you. You should come out here. You can stay with me, and you would do really well out here." So I got everything ready to go, and then fear set in. And I mean the kind of fear. You're getting what you want. Things are about to happen. And then fear sets in that paralyzes you to the floor. And it's like, I don't know if I can do this or not. And someone very close to me sat me down and said, "Look, you've wanted this. You've got everything lined up. Go. Go work it out, and I'll be here when you come back. Or I'll come out there with you. But I'll take care of things here. You just go, and you don't have to worry about any of this." So I got in my car, went out there. Soon after, started an acting class. Somebody saw me in acting class, told their agent about me. She called me in, auditioned me, hired me on the spot, and then it was my job to audition. So instead of a couple of times a month, I was auditioning 3-4 times a day out in L.A. I mean, I was in heaven. So as that went along, you know, I did a lot of commercial work. I did a little bit of film, a little bit of TV, but my genre really was commercials, really quirky, fun commercials. And one day I was standing on the set for a Chevy OnStar commercial, and I had my Birkenstock sandals on, and I'm standing in this prairie grass. My trailer is there. I've got my star on the door, got my name, feeling pretty good about life. And someone said to me, "Hey, you better watch out because there could be snakes in this grass." And I looked down at my feet and looked up, and down the hill were these trees. We were filming under these trees that look like apple trees. They just didn't have the apples on them. And when I looked up, I kind of had a deja vu moment back into that session a year prior. And I was living the scene that I had seen a year before. But I had taken the steps. You know, things were laid out for me, but I had the choice to go and do it and follow. And, you know, there were bumps along the way, but I had the choice to follow what was being shown to me or stay put and always wonder what would have happened. So I made that choice. And then as I was out in L.A., I started to study hypnosis. I was out there for a couple of years and then studied hypnosis and then came back to the East Coast. So that's how I got started with it.
Wow, great story, great story. So you studied with some, you know, major players in this field, some of actually the trailblazers like Brian Weiss and Michael Newton, Roger Wooger, Henry Bultick. Yeah, you studied with them, which is wonderful because I'm really familiar with Brian Weiss. I don't know that he's teaching anymore, is he?
He is, but those others have passed on. You know, they're still in touch in other ways, but they're not here on the physical plane. So Brian Weiss was really great. He's well known, of course, for past life therapeutic work. And then Michael Newton, I started with Roger Wooger. And Roger Wooger is known for ancestral work, how the subtle body around the physical body carries stored memory patterns, and that you can work with those stored patterns to transform them, to find relief from longstanding issues. And then Michael Newton, when I learned about Michael Newton, that was a game changer for me, because I really was going to follow a track with Roger Wolger and do that work. But Michael Newton's work spoke to me, and he really works with pre-birth planning prior to incarnation. He, you know, he just, his clients started popping into that area. You know, he was a traditional therapist, you know, wasn't doing this kind of work. He was doing hypnosis for relaxation, yet his clients kept going into the afterlife. So he started probing and asking more about that, and I just found that fascinating. And Roger said, you need to go teach. And I said, but what would I teach? And he said, you go study with Michael Newton, and you'll know whether you come back and work with me or you work with Michael. So I went on, and they knew each other. They were contemporaries. And I went on to help Michael Newton start the Newton Institute. I was a lead instructor. I mean, you know, I've taught internationally for the Newton Institute and for myself. And it just has been an incredible journey, you know, trusting along the path, listening to that inner guidance, and then going to where I needed to go to study with the people that I could study with.
You have been very fortunate in your mentors. Very, very fortunate. But it's because this was your destiny. So you're led in the right direction. So your technique is called Soul Expression Spiritual Regression. What is that? And how is that different than typical regression, past life regression?
So Soul Expression Spiritual Regression, and the acronym for that is SESR, like an assessor. So it offers an assessment or a review of one's current life that permits the magnification of your soul in your current mind and body. So in this deeper state, and this is spiritual regression, it is a transpersonal style where the client goes into that state. But the client allows themselves to let go, right? I'm guiding them. I'm using progressive relaxation techniques to put them into that state, but they are allowing themselves to let go, to go into that deeper place, and then to explore what's happening. And so as we do that, clients are able to identify and review the past and the future simultaneously from the perspective of this current life, but also with direct guidance from their soul and their spiritual team. And in doing so, they're able to get that, find and follow their soul's guidance to really connect with it in a stronger way. But your soul is always there. I mean, it's in your body. Your soul resides in the spiritual realm. And then a piece of it comes down into these bodies that we incarnate into. And so it's always in connection to our higher self, however, our soul self. However, our mind kind of gets in the way sometimes. The overthinking it can take us out of sync to where we're getting hits, we're getting that intuitive hit, but then we overthink it or overanalyze it away. So this is to help line that up. But in that deeper space, it's amazing because clients sometimes will go into a past life. Now, prior to doing the SESR session, they would have done a past life session with me to prepare the way. So on the day of SESR, we don't typically go into a past life, although sometimes they do as an entry point. But usually we go directly into the spirit world. And so their soul has a personality, an immortal personality that's with us from the time our soul is sparked, you know, created. And that personality comes through the client because it may be different than your earthly personality. The voice changes. So they're basically channeling their soul to provide insight and information to them and to help identify those patterns that have been created through many incarnations that need to be shifted or changed, or to remember things that they need to be reminded of that are wonderful about them, you know, wonderful qualities that they possess. And so this is to help them move through their issues more quickly and just be in touch with that deeper part of oneself that's always there, as well as spiritual guides and past life information too. You know, you have access to all of that in that space.
So what the question that pops into my mind is, if we come here with this veil that keeps us from knowing what we've been through, so that it does not interfere with our experience here. Why would we have that that veil if if accessing our soul's past is beneficial to our life now?
Think about everything that's happened to you today already, and then this week, and then this month, and then multiply that out through your current life. So if you were to remember all the details of all of your lifetimes all at the same time, it's almost like overload, and it's not necessary. You know, with each incarnation, we have different personalities, we have different bodies, we bring through, you know, we experience different experiences because of the dynamics that we incarnate into through our family, through the people that we're going to meet. And so it's not relevant to, it's not necessary to recall all at the same time because it's a lot. But at the same time, you do bring into your soul body different qualities and characteristics that are with you now for this incarnation that you'll tap into along the way, and that could include past life memories. So if it's relevant to the life that you're living, you will recall those memories at the appropriate time, or you'll be prompted to come in, you know, to have a session, or you'll dream, you know, your dreams will open up to past life memories, or maybe in meditation. But you'll be drawn to those kinds of things that will give you the information that you need at that time. See, we're working on themes.
Thank you.
So through many incarnations, you might be working on the theme of love. So how do you learn about love? By having it, by losing it, by finding it, you know, through each of those incarnations. And as you work through those themes, it helps you build more compassion as a soul, as a being, a higher being.
Wow, thank you so much. That's a really great answer. That makes so much sense. So we're really, what's revealed to us is what we are supposed to know. We don't necessarily have to know everything, right? So so you use, you say during the process, the client lifts their energy vibration to a level that increases communication with guides and one soul, as guides lower their own energy vibration. Now, that is, that's the way a channeler would sort of do it, raise their vibration, you know, in order to meet with the vibration of the spirit world. So how do you get your patients or your clients in that high vibration state?
So we use progressive relaxation, music, breathing, you know, various techniques. Many of them on their own are already, you know, doing things to raise their vibration, like lighter foods and energy work and, you know, the kinds of things, living a lifestyle that helps, you know, lighten your load while you're here on Earth. So that helps, of course. And then when they're coming in for the sessions, they're coming in with an open mind to be open to what comes through instead of thinking it away. So this is not something that you achieve by just training your mind to get there. It's about going into that deeper space, that heart-centered space, and tuning in through the heart to what's coming through. But, of course, we need the mind to be there to tell us what's happening, but not to – it's not an analytical process. It's a heart-centered, energetic-type process.
It sounds wonderful. It really does.
It's fascinating.
It sounds,
you know, like, I'm on the edge of my seat. I do this every day, and I'm on the edge of my seat as clients are sharing with me. Because in that deeper state, they are getting the information, and then they're telling me what's happening. You know, so it's like we're at the movies, and I'm deaf, and I'm blind, and they're watching the movie, and then they're communicating to me about what's happening. And so I'm asking questions and, you know, well, tell me what's happening now and what about this? And, you know, and then I have questions that I lead, you know, guide them through as well to gather more information, because they come in with specific questions for the session, and I want to help them uncover as much information that I can to help them answer those questions and then open up that connection. Because once they leave my office, that connection is open. And, you know, by working with it and continuing to be in tune with it, they can get answers on their own. I mean, people can get answers on their own. I want to be clear about that. And many times they already are being led, you know, by their soul. But other times they're not clear. There's a lack of clarity, you know. And so I'm leading them to a place where they can understand what that feels like when they are in touch with soul, and how to know how to follow that soul's guidance so they can make these choices and lead, you know, with the least amount of difficulty. You know, you're here as a human. You're here to experience things, and there are things that are laid out for us that we're meant to go through. But through those experiences, there's soul growth. There is, you know, growth in compassion towards your fellow humans through these events and experiences. So you can't go through, I don't believe it's possible to go through a life without feeling, you know, some of the negative emotions. But when you can see them in a different light, then that hindsight is foresight, and it helps you to grow from them so that they're not holding you back, because you've outgrown that belief, that behavior, that conditioning, you know, all of those things. And then you can have a more full expression of your soul in this current incarnation, you know, that brilliant, brilliant light that is your soul within.
So your sessions, I know that, so first you do an all live session, which is about 2 hours, to prepare.
Yes.
And then the actual assessor session is 3.5 to 4 hours long. That's a long time to be in this state, isn't it?
Yes, but it's timeless. You know, it's 3.5, 4 hours, and when clients come out, one of the first things I ask is, what time do you think it is? Did that seem like a long time or a short time? And, you know, it's been 4 hours, and they'll say, I don't know, 20 minutes, 40 minutes. But so much is happening, right? And it's happening in real time. It's happening in this now time, and it's just such a lovely space to be in. But it's not in this earthly time that we measure by minutes. It's a different energetic space that we're able to tap into.
So as the person is in this particular state, you're guiding them based on what they're saying to you. You're guiding them to other experiences or other memories based on what they're saying to you.
So as they move into that space, they're describing to me what's happening, and then I'm able to ask, you know, ask and guide them to other places. Guides come in. Their spirit guides come through as well, and they may take them to other places that the client needs to experience and know about. And it's, you know, it's really powerful, and it's a beautiful dance, because I want to facilitate and guide the client, but you don't want to lead. You know, you don't want to tell them, oh, do you see this now? Are you experiencing that now? You never want to tell them what they're experiencing, because that can dampen the experience for them, and often they're experiencing something else that's even bigger and better than I would have known to lead them to. So, you know, it's not about leading. It's about just letting the client experience. And then there are certain places that often clients go to, like the review, the soul review, or you can even tap into past lives in that spiritual space, that spiritual realm. And so if needed, I could ask the guide to take them to that space and, you know, work with soul reflection or soul awareness, or even do like what's called a soul recalibration to align them more with their soul's energy. So all of these wonderful things are taking place in that space, and then the client is feeling the energy from that. So that's brightening their light, their spirit, as it's clearing away the dense negative energies. And, you know, like here on Earth, things like fear, shame, guilt, anger, all of those are those dense energies. And joy and enjoyment and happiness, those are the lighter energies that, you know, get dampened by the dense ones. So as they're going through these experiences, the soul will do like an energy recalibration to kind of clear some of those earthly experiences that are kind of weighing still like an imprint on the soul.
So how many sessions of Cesar does one normally have? I mean, is there a particular amount of sessions, or is it just based on what they are receiving and processing in each one?
Typically, clients will do one. So they'll come in, they'll do an all-live session with me, and if they're coming, I have a lot of clients from out of town, so if they're coming, they will do the all-live session the day before or maybe 2 days before, depending on how long they're going to be here, and then the next day we will do the Cesar session and explore. You know, they're welcome to do an additional session down the road, but I don't do them back-to-back. You typically do the one because you're going to get what you need from that, and that's going to carry you for a while. And if someone needs a booster session or, you know, if they down the road, if they need to, I'll let them come back. But, you know, sometimes clients do ask, you know, could I come again, like, soon? And it's like, no, you've opened up that connection. Let's let it get its ripening and its fullness before we go back in and try to explore that further. Because it's really about empowering the client. You know,
yeah,
I don't want
absolutely.
Anyone to be dependent on me or the technique. It's about awakening them so that they can move forward more connected in their lives. And, you know, with the book, The Limitless Soul is my book, that talks about these case studies, and I put in exercises at the end of each chapter for the reader. So I chose stories that I thought would be helpful for the reader. I mean, they were really wonderful case studies that revealed information about the spiritual realms. They held universal messages for the reader as well. And then I put in exercises at the end of each chapter so that the reader can work with these exercises and start awakening and connecting on their own, like a repatterning of themselves to tap in, because, you know, everyone's not going to be able to get in for a session, or maybe they can't get in right away. So until they can, there's a lot of things that one can do on their own to get started with that.
Yeah, I see that. And in a second, we're going to, since I did read through your book, I'm going to ask you to give some examples of case studies.
Okay.
So I wanted to, the last question I wanted to ask you before we go into that is, so I was telling you before before we got on air that many, many years ago, I signed up for a regression, and I did not go in. I have a few very vague memories, but really did not feel like I went in. So how many people, or what is there a percentage of people that don't, or why would that happen to someone?
Well, there are different styles of hypnosis out there, and this is the transpersonal approach. And with transpersonal, the client is going in. The client holds the ability to go into those deeper realms. So a couple of things that could be hindering could be rapport with the facilitator. It could be, I call it spiritual performance anxiety, where you want it so much that you're almost blocking yourself because you can't get into that state. Mm-hmm. It could also be that, it could be the technique, the style, but most times it's about deepening. There's a longer process for deepening the client to get into the state. So it's not something, you know, the induction portion of this, it takes more than 10 minutes. You know, it takes more than 15 minutes. It's a process to guide the person into that deeper state so that then they can begin to explore. And also the format for getting the client there is really important because it's laying the groundwork and each step is building on the previous step. So that's why I require the past life session, the all life session, because that is preparing the way for assessor, which is even deeper, to access this information. And if there are blockages in the past life session, then it gives us the opportunity to clear that and work that out in preparation for the deeper session. So there are sometimes that a client may need an additional past life session, right? Mm-hmm. So most clients, I have a very, very, very small percentage that are not able to get into that state. And, you know, sometimes meds can get in the way and different things like that too, or maybe it's just a crazy busy time in their lives that they're just not able to relax. You know, they're a professional and they've got a lot going on with projects at work and they can't allow themselves to relax for a couple of hours. And right. You would think coming in for the session that they would be able to, and most can, but sometimes, you know, you have to leave the office behind or you have to leave the kids behind so you can give yourself that window of time and really access that.
Right. What kind of meds would interfere with this? Or might interfere with it?
I don't really want to name them by name on air, but okay. And I need to say that I'm not a therapist. I'm a hypnotherapist. But, you know, some of those that are prescribed that might be causing the client to not, to dull the senses a bit. I'll put it that way. If they're feeling their senses being dulled, then they're not going to be able to tap into senses and sensory work to go deeper into the body.
All right, got it.
The disconnect from the medicine.
Got it. So is there a particular case that you'd like to start with that you think would be great to share?
Yes. So one of my favorite cases in the book is The Gifts That You Brought With You. And it talks about, so this client, she went into on the way into the spiritual realm, she went into the womb, and she's describing this invisible suit that she brought with her that's tailored. She's giving great description. Oh, it's tailored for you. It has what you need for that lifetime. You can access it whenever you need it. It's just there, and it's like a suit, like your birthday suit. And she's talking about the soul piece that's in the body and how it is. It has all the elements with it that are designed to be awakened at those moments in your life when you need them. So you have everything that you need there. And then she went into talking about the pre-planning that takes place with the Soul Advisory Council. And that pre-planning, so your Soul Advisory Council is a council that oversees you. And they are part of your spiritual team as well as your spirit guide. And you have more than one guide. And guides will help with different things along the way. And that pre-planning that takes place, which you, your soul, is actually part of as well, to line up the experiences that you're going to have with some of the other players. So, you know, it's kind of like you're sitting around with your soul group and your spiritual team, and it's like, hey, I'm going to do this time, okay? And when you do that, here's what I'm going to do. And, you know, we all take on these different roles, and we come down and incarnate. And then after a lifetime, we go back and we talk about it. hey, remember the time I did that and you didn't like that very much? Or remember the time that you did this to me? Well, I hadn't really forgotten about that, you know. But there's a lot of humor that takes place once we're out of the physical and back into the spiritual realms. And all of these things are done with love, you know, to help the soul's growth of our fellow souls and other souls. So she talks about that. All of the case studies talk about those kinds of things, but hers especially spoke to the pre-planning and the birthday suit that carries those things. And it also, in her case, her gift and her purpose is to bring joy, because joy and compassion are needed so much right now. You know, she didn't recognize how important just being in a room and making people smile is, but it's needed so much at this time. It's just as a little spark to lighten people up.
Fantastic, fantastic. Now, what you're explaining to me is really what I believe happens, and I've read about that. So that's kind of a confirmation for, you know, for the belief that I have. Now, I wonder if we have a particular belief about the spirit world and where we're from and who our soul is and all those kind of things, do you think our belief reflects on our experience?
Well, I will say that your openness can reflect on the experience, because what happens is in that state, a lot of times clients find out that what they believe to be true is not the case. And then other times they are finding out that what they always suspected is actually true. So, you know, sometimes... So when you go into other lifetimes, you know, you review your own past lives, you might find out that you were a male. You're a female now and you're a male then. Or you're a male now and you've been female before, right? So you might have thought about past lives but not realized, oh, I've been another gender in a past life, you know? Sometimes people that are of one faith and one religion are surprised to find out in a previous incarnation or several previous incarnations they were a different religion. And then the guide will come in and explain why they're revealing that past life to the client now and how that's relevant. You know, to find out that in a past life their religious beliefs were very different from what they are now. Maybe they're more open and spiritually minded now, and in a past life they were very religious and dogmatic in a very conservative religion, and they're very surprised to find that out. But then it makes sense why they might have incarnated, to find out, you know, from another perspective with, you know, the lifetime that they're in now.
This is so intriguing. tell me more.
Yeah.
Tell me more. So tell us about another situation, another case study.
Well, another one that's coming to mind is the one about soul groups and parallel lives. And it talks about how we're all cosmically connected. So this is a series of lives with my client, Elsa, John, and Elsa's twin, Natalie. And John is, she is Elsa's boyfriend, and very close with Elsa's twin, Natalie, the three of them, right? So Elsa has the session with me, and it explores soul groups and how they lead parallel lives. So they've had several past lives together, and Elsa was, and I talk about all of these past lives of Elsa's in the book. She was a teacher for a deaf school, and then she also used sign language during, she was a Polish teacher during World War I and in Poland, and she had children hiding in her attic, and she would go to school and teach every day and then sneak food and supplies back into the house, and there were soldiers standing on the corners, and, you know, these were small children, 5, 6 years old, and she had to conserve water. She really had to be creative how she helped them and she used signing again to use sign language to communicate with them so that the soldiers wouldn't hear anything. And one of the soldiers really, he was interested in her, so every time she would leave the house, there he was, flirting, and, you know, she couldn't get past him without having to deal with him. So she was really worried about sound. And then another lifetime that she had was as a cave woman, and they communicated with their hands and not words. So that's an example of themes that this client has been working on through several of her incarnations. But then also soulmates that are together. And then sometimes soulmates are not together. Sometimes soulmates will stay out, you know, they'll sit one out, and their partner will incarnate, and that partner experiences the disconnect here on Earth where they're feeling the loss of that, you know, that partner that's not here in a body. They can still communicate, but sometimes it's more about the experience that the incarnating one will have by not having that partner there. And during the session, Elsa had a new guide that appeared, and they talked about the new work that she would be doing in the future with John and with Natalie. But for now, they're building skills that will help them with what's coming later. So it's fascinating. And then parallel lives, you know, not all souls do that. It takes a lot of energy. You have to be more experienced at getting, you know, incarnating into the energy of this planet, because Earth is a denser planet, and Earth is the emotional planet. So managing your emotions is half the battle of being here. And then, when you're living parallel lives, you're living two lives at the same time that overlap. So your soul energy is split, so to speak. I mean, you've got a piece here and a piece over there. And then a piece up in the spiritual realms.
Crazy.
I mean,
wow, it is. It is. Have you ever had someone talk about being on a different planet? Or is it all soul? Yes, you have. Oh, please tell us.
So, all right. So the chapter Spiritual Rehab for Injured Souls, this client, she's such a cool client, just in her personality and in her thinking. And her job in the spirit world is as a soul doctor. And she works with the displaced souls, and she incarnates to study humans. She actually incarnates to study the human persona and then takes that knowledge back with her into the spiritual realms and works with the souls that have lost their connection to soul. You know, something happened in their incarnations that gets off track once they incarnated. And it's something that happens in the mind that's not really part of the plan. Or like a serial killer. That's not part of the plan, but it can happen. And they study that in the spiritual realm, help those souls in a rehab-type center. And then she goes off to this, she and the others in that those types of facilities have a special cottage or space that they go to recharge. And for her, it's a special sanctuary of vibration. And it's in the form of a little cottage in the woods that the vibration of the stones and everything there, they're otherworldly type stones, but they permeate a feeling of peace. And so her soul advisory council had a member there that's an ET, and we talked with him a bit, and he responded that it's not that we're separate, it's just that we're individual and different. And we all have our planet of origin that resonates with our vibration, that we take on that role and that costume when we reside there. But extraterrestrials were created with different gifts and different ways of relating and different things to offer. So when they come to Earth to incarnate, they bring those skill sets, like energy work or music, creating, you know, the internet. That's something that was created elsewhere, and then there was time to bring it to Earth because more souls were ready for these other things and other ways of communicating. You know, like even back when the telephone came in, the telephone was new and exciting. Electricity was new and exciting at one point, and then we've just grown in leaps and bounds beyond that. So we live and incarnate on these other planets to bring in skill sets that will help us along our incarnations on Earth and other places. And, you know, with Michael Newton's work, he had a much smaller percentage, and he called them hybrids, those souls whose first incarnations were not on Earth. But I have a very high level of hybrids. I don't like that term, so I don't use that term. But, yeah, I mean, it was a great term at the time. But souls that have, you know, these other skill sets from their incarnations on other planets, I have a lot of those people coming in.
Really?
You know, they're linguists, they're creative, they're artists, they're scientists. They think outside of the box, and they bring that to the work that they do in their field, in their chosen field. So all fields are represented that way. But then they take on these physical bodies of Earth, of humans, right? If we were incarnating on a different planet, our bodies might look differently because it would be relative to what's needed for that planet. So it's fascinating. It's incredible.
Oh, you must just sit there with your mouth hanging open.
I do, but then I have to guide the client. So I have to, right. I have to like stay on track. Like, oh wow, did she really say that? Okay, tell me more. What else can you tell me about that?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I know that there, or I have heard that there are people who walk this earth who know that they are aliens or ETs or whatever. And they're very conscious of the fact that they're here doing something. So in other words, it's not that we're downloading information from ETs, it's that we've had that ET experience and we're bringing it with us when we incarnate, right? Is that what you're saying?
It can be.
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
It can be that you're tapping into just another one of your incarnations that you're familiar with.
Okay.
Or
gotcha.
You could have
an
ET on your team that you're communicating
with.
Do
they name the planets?
Sometimes they do. And so what's interesting is sometimes they'll describe a water world or a blue planet. Sometimes they give the name of a planet, but I'm trying to get consistency so that, I mean, it's really hard because there's so many planets and so many potential places that one can incarnate that, you know, it's difficult to make a chart or a map so that you can say these souls are all going to this one planet. But there is consistency with the orange planet, the blue planet, the energy planet. You know, some planets we don't have bodies. We just have our soul, or the ball of energy that is our soul is able to just go there and be there in that space, but it's not like a body. It doesn't have to contain itself to a container to be able to go to those places. It's about frequency too and vibration. You know, all of this involves energy work as well, because your energy, as it's getting higher and tuning in to those higher frequencies, you're able to learn more and different and have an even deeper understanding of things, which leads to even more questions. The more I know, the more questions I have.
Right. That's amazing. Yeah, I've never felt like I've fit like I'm part of this planet. I always tell people that I believe I'm alien because I'm just not suited to the planet, physically, emotionally, mentally. I don't adapt well here. So, you know, I'm not so sure that, you know, that this is where I really am from. It is very dense and it feels uncomfortable to me.
Yes. So I would say those are clues. Maybe true.
Yeah. It's like my body just doesn't adapt here. It's really strange.
Have you been regressed?
Oh, yes. I've had probably 70 past life sessions, including between life between life sessions. And, you know, some of those lifetimes I went to more than once, but it would be a different segment. It would be years later, and I would go there and get another piece of something that I didn't know before. And then some of the lifetimes were completely new information for me, but they made sense with what was happening at the time.
Incredible. So your book is The Limitless Soul, Hypnoregression Case Studies into Past, Present, and Future Lives. Bryn, where is this book available?
It's available online and through all national booksellers. It's available internationally. It's in English right now, and I believe it's going to be in another language, a couple of other languages very soon. It's available in print, Kindle, and soon to be audio. I've made the recording. We're just waiting to get the edits in and get that up for the audio book as well.
Oh, great, great. Okay, and your sessions, the person must be physically there with you, correct? It's not like you can do this remotely, or am I wrong?
Okay. No, I do them in person. I really want that energetic connection that you get one-on-one with the client. And they also need to be grounded. You know, this is for spiritual exploration. There are times when people need to see a traditional counselor, and this is not to bypass that. If they need a traditional counselor for that kind of work, or if they're not grounded mentally, then this is not the kind of work for them. But this is for, you know, spiritual exploration and personal development and finding out more and connecting to your soul self. You know, it's about enriching your connection to yourself and helping to improve the relationship with yourself.
Wow. It's just a big wow. I'm blown away. I love this. I'm so intrigued. I could talk to you all day about this, but we're running out of time, so I can't. But I thank you so much for sharing this with us. I got a lot of answers to questions that I've always had. I'm sure I'm going to come up with many more. But anyway, I am so appreciative that you were my guest today. Your book is wonderful, and your work is truly a gift to us all.
Thank you.
So you're doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing, and you're doing it well. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And if I could say one thing to the listeners, this is about having less worry and more trust. You know, it's finding out your place and part of that divine plan, and to know that you're here on purpose. You're here by design, not by accident, and you're not alone, and you are loved. And all souls are part of that divine plan, even the ones that you don't really know, you can't really explain it. Even those souls are part of that divine plan and needed for the whole, for the bigger picture.
Yes. Oh, wow. I agree with that, and thank you for that confirmation. Yes. You know, I wonder, you know, listen, we all have people in our lives that really give us a hard time. We have issues, you know, and I try to think of it, not that I want to work that out in this lifetime, but I think I understand that it's part of the soul group, and that when we find each other as spirits, as souls, that we will laugh and share, you know, the experiences that sometimes people have a hard job here. They come here, this is what I believe, they come here really to help somebody else, and they live their lives in that meaning, whatever it is. So, but again, have a wonderful day. I wanted to ask you where you're located, Bryn.
In Wilmington, North Carolina, on the coast.
Okay, great. Well, you're not far from me. I'm down in South Florida, so you're not bad.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, I'm far
all right. Well, Yeah. Well, have a wonderful, wonderful day, and it's been a pleasure.
You too, and thank you so, so much. I really enjoyed this. Time just flew by.
Yeah, it does. It does. Okay. All right. Take care. Take care.
You too.
So we are out of time. Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye. We are out of time today, but if you have any comments or questions about today's show, you can email me at loveyourlife@randyfine.com. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.